Inner Voice, a heartfelt chat with Dr. Fujian.
Break free from the forces holding you back. Get the life you deserve. Eliminate stress, reduce anxiety, decrease depression, and start living your full potential. Thousands have used Dr. Fujian Zane's Awareness Integration Theory, an evidence-based behavioral health breakthrough with incredible life-changing results. Getting rid of past trauma, having fulfilling relationships, increasing earnings, and living their best life. Now, the Fujian app is available to everyone. The app is Dr. Fujian Zane's Awareness Integration Theory in the palm of your hand. Download the Fujian app today.
Do you wish to wake up one day and hit the life reset button? Life Reset, the awareness integration path to create the life you want by Dr. Fujian Zane, helps you navigate crucial life areas, heal the past traumas, and cultivate fulfilling relationships and careers. Life Reset is your guide to a profound journey to reshape your life. Grab your copy on Amazon or Audible now and embark on a path to a more joyous and fulfilled life.
Welcome to the Inner Voice, a heartfelt chat with Dr. Fujian podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Fujian Zane, a psychotherapist, author, and the creator of the Awareness Integration Theory. I'm so thrilled to have you join us today for what promises to be an insightful discussion. In this episode, I chat with Kara Crossway Brindle. She's a licensed mental health therapist in private practice in Denver, Colorado. She holds various roles, including financial therapist, a TEDx speaker, burnout consultant, an author, and a professor. Her new book that we're going to be talking about today is Understanding Ruptured Mother-Daughter Relationships, Guiding the Adult Daughter's Healing Journey Through the Estrangement Energy Cycle. You can definitely access everything that she's got in estrangementenergycycle.com. She also talked about having a children's book, which is called Penny McGee Family Tree, talking to kids about family estrangement, which is very, very important, especially for families who have been estranged a little bit. So today we talk about estrangement, what defines it, what are some of the causes that happens, and what are some of the cycles that happens for mothers and daughters to kind of like get estranged, whether physically or emotionally together, and what are some of the ways of coming back to this kind of connection, which is so important for all of us to have. So I really enjoyed their conversation. It was two people coming up with a lot of different experiences that we've both had, not only personally, but also in our practices. And I hope that a lot of these examples sit tight in your heart. And if there is a part of you that feels strange from your mother or your daughter, they can find jewels in here that you could open up some insight for you and hopefully, get you to get healed in any format that you think. Now be sure to subscribe to this podcast. I love to hear from all of you. Subscribe to my YouTube channel and connect with me through my website, FujianZane.com, or any of my social media platform. Share with me your thoughts, suggestions, things that you think I could do that might interest you more, or topics, or people you want to hear from. So I'd love to hear from you. Now, without further ado, let's hear from Kara Crossway Brindle.
Intentional Parenting, a practical guide to awareness integration theory, written by Dr. Jafari, Dr. Fujian Zane, and Dr. Manoukian, three experts in human development, is your step-by-step guide to raising a healthy child prepared for a culturally integrated world. You're supported in parenting infants to adolescents using the latest evidence-based scientific research on parenting. Order your copy on Amazon now.
Eliminate stress, reduce anxiety, and decrease depression. Dr. Fujian Zane's Awareness Integration Theory has helped thousands like you get incredible life-changing results. The Fujian app gives you her evidence-based treatment in the palm of your hand. Download today.
It is so great to have you, Kara Crossway Brindle. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm excited for the conversation.
Yes. You have a book out, Understanding Ruptured Mother-Daughter Relationships and Guiding the Adult Daughter's Healing Journey Through the Estrangement Energy Cycle. This is very close to my heart, the topic. I had a kind of estranged mother-daughter relationships. I think I could tell you since I was born. But I think more than anything, since I've moved away and I migrated to the U.S., obviously that became more of that rupture. But I also, as a therapist, and I don't know if you see that also as a clinician, that sometimes we even see when people are coming to the therapy in order to gain their own freedom and really look at where some of these issues come from. Some part of some sort of therapy takes people into a place of blaming, and this was my parents' fault, and this is the fault that I got. And then they kind of, there's a period of time, sometimes forever, but there's a period of time which this estrangement happens, and they kind of separate from each other. And I think that you look at this concept of this rupture and estrangement from a very, very detailed way. And I love the way that you go through each aspect of it. And I want everybody to be able to hear it here before they go to the book. And I want everybody to go to the book.
So, thank you. I appreciate that.
And so first, why are you interested in this?
Yeah, I mean, obviously being a clinician, I've been a mental health therapist for 14 years now. And so the clients I was seeing, as you kind of alluded to, maybe they had all different backgrounds, but they were coming in to do some sort of therapeutic work. And oftentimes in that work, they had an aha or a realization or a validation of, oh, that wasn't quite right. That wasn't healthy. There was something abusive about the dynamic with mom. And so even though they weren't always coming in for therapy around that issue, they would maybe get there and then have this realization that they couldn't unsee. And so then they might consider estrangement. So recognizing all these women of different backgrounds, I started to see a pattern of like, what did it look like for them to consider estrangement? What did it look like to pursue estrangement? And then what it looked like to heal from estrangement? So kind of coming back up to the top of the cycle of the eight stages. In addition to that, I'm married into a family with four generations of estrangement. So I think that also contributed to this book of I'm kind of on the outside observing, watching the family dynamics of literally four different generations not speaking to each other, which makes holidays and family functions quite interesting, if I'm honest.
Yes, absolutely. So you start talking about estrangement itself. So, and defining it, can you please share what estrangement means to you?
I think, you know, estrangement, most people think of physical estrangement when they hear the word estrangement. So physical estrangement would be, we have no contact, we're not in touch, we don't talk to each other, we don't call each other, we don't see each other at family functions. And so that feels very like permanent, of like, we're not speaking, we don't have plans to speak. More often than not, though, with adult daughters, they might start with emotional estrangement, which by definition means it's kind of a slow separation. Maybe I'm not talking to you as often. Maybe I'm restricting how long I see you. Maybe I'm not attending every family function, but we're still in contact. And so I think a lot of adult women think maybe I start there because it's more gentle or prevents more conflict. So they start with emotional estrangement. But then when that doesn't work and the boundaries are still being violated or they're still being hurt, then they move to physical estrangement, which tends to look like you have no idea about my life and you don't even know where I live.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like we've also shared about cultural estrangement, right? So some of that, what you have shared is like religious and spiritual identity, economic class background, sexual identity, psychological maturity, ethnic and racial identity, and chronological and developmental challenges. Trauma, threats of well-being, family background, unique physical characteristics, and location of residence and language differences, which also contributes to some of these cultural estrangements. Okay. Can you share a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I think what comes to mind is that from a cultural lens, there are folks of different areas that are like, family comes first. So they might say, this is really important. It's not about independence. It's not about autonomy. It's about family. And collectivism. And so we think of like East meets West, that kind of shows up there. Like Western societies are like, be independent, go off on your own, cut ties if you have to. They're very much about this, the single individual. And then there are other collectivist cultures that are like, this is about family, this is about community. You don't do this to your family. And so when those folks experience estrangement, it's already painful, but now they have judgment and confusion and hostility, maybe from people of their culture or family or community members, because they're like, we just don't do this. So I think of like Italian families, I think of Latina families, I think of, you know, just like just different people that are like, family is always what we focus on. So to think about breaking ties with your family is just unheard of. And it makes it that much more complicated for adult daughter.
And I think that also with families such as what you just shared, some people have the estrangement underneath the facade of just cultural rituals. So they'll come in, they'll do the cultural ritual, for example, getting together once a week, or, you know, in a holidays or something. They will come, they will do all of the, you know, pleasantries that usually is cultural, but actually they're not sharing who they are. They're not sharing their life. They're not sharing their life story, and they're not that connected. Would that also consider estrangement, which is kind of convoluted under, you know, another facade?
Oh yeah, I think facade absolutely works here, because it's putting on this brave face of like, oh look, we're so connected, we're so affectionate for this family function, for this holiday, for this event. We have no connection to each other in our personal lives outside of that event. And so it feels very inauthentic. Mm-hmm. It feels fake, which is why facade, I think, works so well. It's like there's a lyrics to a song that are popping in my head of like, this is a dollhouse. I mean, it looks beautiful on the outside, but the inside is a mess. But we just look good to other people. They have no idea that we have conflict or estrangement or abuse going on indoors if they didn't look in.
Kara, how come you chose the dynamic of a mother-daughter versus a, you know, mother-son, or the son and the father, or the, you know, any other dynamic of the family? What was it that was more important to you as you saw it, that we needed to focus a little bit more on the mother-daughter relationship?
Mm-hmm. I think part of it is that a lot of the people I was serving in therapy were women. So I was definitely seeing more women than men to have this experience. But the more I did research on estrangement, the more I realized how painful it is from the mother-daughter attachment to no longer have a mother, to not be speaking to her. The data shows us that it feels like that person has died. And so there's immense grief and loss. There's this idea of like, we're an extension of our mother. So if she's not a part of our life, it feels like there's a void where she should be. And a lot of the milestones of like marriage and kids and significant illness, we want our mother there, and she's not. And so the more I dove into the research, the more I heard, well, men are expected to start their own families. So their estrangement trajectory looks different, still painful, but maybe shorter in how they get through it. Versus women, it's, did I do enough? There's the people pleasing, there's perfectionism, there's the questioning of constantly, like, should I go back to mom? Should I try harder? Could I do more? So think caregiver energy, which I think is very much female and adult daughter's place to own that.
Kara, you're so right. There's such a pain in there. There's truly a pain that people experience. And I think mostly because daughters also become parents themselves and become mothers themselves, they go back into this role modeling and look at it. I also think part of this concept of estrangement beyond really, like if there was an abuse or neglect or there was something going on. But a lot more also has about some sort of an expectation that we hold about like motherly responsibilities and how they should be. A lot of the estrangement also in my own practice, as I saw it, and I, you know, just my own experience with my mother, it was an expectation that I had that it had to be a particular way. You know, we have this essence, like you hear it from religions, you hear it from all over, you know, the mother love and the mothers, you know, are, there's an expectation almost of this concept of the unconditional love, unconditional care that a mother has to offer. And if there's anything that that person does as a human being, where it doesn't fit with that child's needs, suddenly it's like, okay, you don't fit the mother that I think I should have or I should have had. And you know what, the neighbor one has it and the other one have it. And for some reason I didn't get the right cards and I got this one. And, you know, and it becomes this huge disappointment. And I think most beings take this disappointment and not say, at the beginning, they're not saying it's my mother. They say there's something wrong with me, that my mother doesn't love me. And then as they grow up a little bit, that concept stays. But then it's like, okay, I'm bad, obviously, because you don't love me. But then you're bad, too, because you should be loving me no matter what, and you don't. And then this kind of I'm bad, you're bad kind of stays in this, you know, problem. And then when you could see it where the person is kind of like individuating and they're finding their own way of being out there. But then when the cycle happens, when they're becoming a mother, it seems like all of this comes back again with a lot of pain if it hasn't been healed. Can you share?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, in the book, there's 9 women's stories. And so I tried my best to capture, you know, obviously 9 stories does not capture everyone's experience, but kind of some bigger themes of permanent estrangement to reconciliation, or hey, we never estranged, we just worked on some things. And a lot of those women, if they were mothers or anticipated becoming mothers, they said exactly what you shared of like, what if I recreate the trauma? What if I'm a bad mother? Their self-worth stuff showed up again of like, what if I'm not going to be a good mother? What if I'm going to hurt my child? This fear of I'm going to recreate the pattern. And so, as you said, mother bond, I also heard mother wound. And I think there's a reason that language has shown up so loudly lately, because it was like, what's the other side of this coin? If we're like healthy attachment, bonding, mother bond, the other side of it is neglect, abuse, and mother wound. And so how do they heal themselves so they don't recreate that with their children was absolutely something they had fear around when they were in therapy.
And I think an added concept is also that when, you know, dialogue happens and you actually sit down and talk, and you could get sometimes the person's intentions were the best, the mother's intention, that's all they knew. This is how they were raised, or this is how at their time that they were raising others, that was in, and that's what they were supposed to be doing. And so they were doing the best that they knew how to. And a lot of times in this dialogue, unfortunately, what happens is like the daughter is trying to share the impact on me and how I've received it and what I've made out of it. And the mother takes it as a blame, and it's, they go into this defensive mode that, what can I do? I mean, okay, I apologize. All right, now what, you know, can we be friends again? And they're like, no. And the cycle of healing is also long and brutal sometimes and heavy, and you know, it's a rocky road at times. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think to normalize that, even this cycle of 8 stages I captured in the book were, you know, under the assumption of like, it says estrangement energy, so it could just even be the thought of I'm thinking about estranging from my mom, what kind of natural consequence would that have versus the true energy of going into estrangement. And even some of the women in the book were like, I still have an urge to reach out to mom, to reconcile, to reconnect. And let's say they do, they follow through on that. But then there's another relationship rupture. And then we're like right back in the cycle, trying to heal, trying to grieve all over again. So I don't think there's a perfect science of here's estrangement, here's reconciliation. But I think, yeah, there's a lot of work that would need to be done for both daughter and mother to heal, whether it's individually and then coming together, or coming together and doing it right then and there. And that has been honestly the most challenging part of this, is that people are like, well, how do I reconcile? And it's like, you have to show up. You have to do the work. It's more than an apology. It's acknowledgement. It's attachment healing. It's so much more than just, I'm sorry, I was a bad mom. Like, that's not going to work for these women. They want something more to say, I'm sorry, and I want to be a better mom to you now. And like, how do we show that with actions more than words?
Understanding ruptured mother-daughter relationships, guiding the adult daughter's healing journey through the estrangement energy cycle by Kara Crossway-Brindle. Kara, sometimes the anger, and I've watched this a lot, where I've had like a mother come into my office and saying, My daughter went to therapy, and yes, we had some issues, but she went to therapy, and now she hates me because she sat with the therapist, and they all decided it was all the whole wounding was because of me. And then they start going through that, and it's like, I don't know what to do because the person is so much in the rage that even if I'm trying to change, and not only I apologize, I ask them, what do you want me to do? And I'm trying to do it. And their rage is like, well, it's not good enough or too late and it should have been. And they face a lot of times, the mothers, the rage of the healing process that a person is going through therapy. I know myself that many times when I've worked with clients, I've asked them not to have communication, not to open this Pandora's box when they are in the process of healing. Health psychotherapy to do its work, to do the healing process, for them to take, you know, come all out of that vulnerable place and take ownership of their, you know, like their adulthood and how they can take care of themselves and all of those things before we can actually have a meaningful relationships. Because I think that the time is almost like they find this nurturing parent as a therapist. And then the expectation is like, well, you should have been like this therapist to me, that you could have empathy no matter what I do, no matter what it was. And I think this is a cycle that I've consistently seen, unfortunately, because I know how much therapy can help, but I also know how much it, at the time that someone is not ready, in the attempt of connection creates another, like you said, it creates another rupture. It creates more of trauma at that moment. What would you say in your experience about this dynamic?
I definitely think that's accurate. It's probably why this is one of the 10 assumptions about estrangement, is that therapists are pushing their clients to estrange. I don't think that's actually happening. I think to what you just shared, it's we're actually starting to like crack open the box, or in this case, rip off the Band-Aid is the image that popped in my head. And you're raw and you're bleeding, and you're trying to reach out to this parent and say, you hurt me and I need acknowledgement and I need an apology, but you're still bleeding out. And so you're bleeding all over your parent. I mean, that's kind of a dramatic image, but like, I feel like it's a fire hose of information to parent, and parents like, whoa, that's too much for me. And so even though it's an assumption of mental health, I think our intentions are good, which is we're creating a space for them to do the work. But if they're not fully in a place yet to approach parents, they probably should wait, to your point of like, timing matters here. If you're bleeding out, just trying to heal yourself, you're probably not needing to interact with parents just this moment.
Right. And sometimes what I've done is almost like figured out what type of a parent they wish they could have. And there've been times as a model, I just said, fire that person in your head. And let's hire the person who's in front of us, because this person is someone you don't know, because you're living in your expectation of who that person should have been. And there's a piece that gets detached from their own expectation. And then if they chose to have, because one angle is detaching from the one that hurt us. Another one is, can we have forgiveness with the one that hurt us? But the one who's sitting in front of us, who's older, who's wiser, or has her own ways, might be totally a different human being than the one we have in our head. And we're trying to deal with this person in front of us as the mother that I hoped I would have as a child, that, you know, would treat me the way I said I wanted to as a child. And I think this part of reconnection is also so important. How do you experience that?
I love the imagery of like, can we actually tap into some compassion by seeing the true person in front of us, the aged parent versus the parent I wish I'd had, or the parent that was harmful in my childhood? Those are three separate people in our mind's eye. So like, I think this is why I enjoy the therapeutic exercise of write a letter to mom. Your first draft can be all anger, all rage, all hurt, just like spout it out. Like, you're not going to actually give her this letter, but you're going to write it out, get it out of your system as part of that healing. And then what's draft number two look like? What about draft three and draft four? maybe eventually we get to a place where it feels healthy to give mom that letter as a way to articulate ourselves and have a voice. But it's probably not the first draft because it is so much rage and anger. And rage really is like the mask of pain. So like when you said rage, I'm like, and they're hurting, right? Like if I can say that, does that soften the interaction they have? Can parents say, oh, my daughter's hurting? Will that soften their interaction if they come back together? But yeah, like looking at the aged parent now and being like, I expect you to be better. Well, maybe they actually have that capability now as they're older. Maybe there was something going on in childhood they couldn't control. And that's why it's like acknowledgement, apology, and where are we going from here is, I think, the recipe for healing.
Yes. You have this in your book, which is the estrangement energy cycle of redefining self-worth and then questioning and then estrangement and then discovering sense of self. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah. So typically a lot of women, when they come into therapy, they might be already estranged, which would be that stage four and beyond of the eight stages, or maybe they're at the beginning stage, which tends to be identifying a cycle of abuse, right? So like we have to do some self-discovery to say, huh, this wasn't what my neighbor's experience was. This wasn't my experience as someone in college. Like this was my childhood experience and it wasn't quote unquote the norm. So once a woman has that awareness, she can't unsee it. And then that moves her into questioning, which then leads her to a conversation with mom. How mom responds, to your point, if she minimizes, gets defensive, that leads to the relationship rupture. And if daughter's like, I can't keep doing this with you, she might say, I need to take some control, which might mean I need to estrange. So that right there is the first four stages of the cycle. Obviously, if mom responded healthily, then we wouldn't even be in the cycle. We would just catapult right back out and say, all right, we're moving forward as a mother-daughter connection. But more often than not, estrangement happens. There's grief and loss, again, because it feels like they died. I mean, emotionally, it definitely feels like they died. And then there's that redefining our identity, deeper work, and then redefining self-worth with or without mom in our life. And so for a lot of women, that deeper work, they'd be in therapy or coaching or mentorship for some support.
And what would your suggestion be to the mothers who they have daughters who are enraged with them, who are upset, who don't want to have anything to happening with their relationship? From the other side also, it is such a pain. It's such a painful concept to have, because you, the same way the daughter thinks I'm not good enough, that's why I'm not lovable because my mother didn't love me. You know, any parent at any point, which they had a child from the moment that, you know, it's they've conceived the child in their womb, they're like, I'm going to be a bad parent. I'm not going to be a good one. I'm going to screw up. So every single parent lives with that guilt the moment they become a parent. And I don't know if it ever leaves, but I could see where that concept of your child, because, you know, the same way, like every child wants their parents' approval, every parent wants their child's approval. So it is also very painful for the mother to see and say, I've obviously been a bad mother. And that's why the relationship is like this, because no matter what, I think parents feel responsible for the outcome of not only their relationship, but the outcome of however their children are creating their life, right? Mm-hmm. How do you console or share with the parent, with the mother that's going through this pain also?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing that popped into my head is that I think this is why they don't acknowledge that the thing happened. So earlier when we're like, what if they minimize, reject, say that didn't happen? Obviously, that adds another layer of pain where estrangement is possible. But I think for a lot of parents, the vulnerability of saying, I did mess up, they equate that to I'm a bad parent, when really it's like, this is an action and this is an identity. And so like, how do we separate that to be like, you know, I'm human, I'm allowed to make mistakes. I'm sorry I made that mistake in your childhood and I'm going to do better. I think that's the combination that daughters want to hear. But I think parents aren't willing to go there because they're like, if I acknowledge that I did something wrong, I am wrong. And so that's part of why they need to do their own work. So the message for mom is, can you do your own work? Is it your own therapy? Is it your own mentorship or coaching or wherever you have that support? Because if you can be your healthiest, then hopefully you'd have the language to reach out to daughter and say, I want to try. I want to be a part of your life. I want this to work. But so many moms aren't sure how to start the conversation. And tone matters, right? If you're like, well, I'm sorry that you were so upset about your childhood, like that tone is not going to heal anybody. But if you're like, I'm curious, I'm genuinely curious, what did I do? Like, help me learn from my mistakes. What did I do that made you feel like you had to estrange from me? Different tone, more curiosity might actually open the door for reconciliation. So I don't think there's like a formulaic way to do this, but I think tone and questions and openness to growing and working on some things would be helpful for mom in her own process.
Very much, yes. I also have seen, you know, mothers who've really sacrificed a lot at the time. You know, they were maybe single mothers, or they were doing a lot of work, and they really sacrificed when something like this happened, that there's estrangement, and the person, their child says, you know, you didn't do this and this, or I felt neglected, or all of that. Sometimes the rage comes up upon them, like, what? All the things I did for you? And they go into this rage of, because nobody knew about their pain while they were raising the child, and they were doing the best that they were doing. And, you know, they sacrificed so much of their life and their youth and things they wanted to do and their selfishness. And they did all of this. And then suddenly it's like, is this my reward? And you have no idea. And then, you know, the dialogue becomes like, no, you don't have the right to be upset with me because you don't know what I've done for you. And then it's this throwing of, you know, a kind of like a burden type of a thing. Now, not, the daughter not only has the pain, now it's like, oh, I was a burden now. And you know, this person is, I can understand, but now I'm hurt. You know, they're telling me not only that I haven't been heard or understood, it feels like I'm a burden to them.
Yeah, and that reaction. And so going back to this like bleeding image, now we have two people bleeding and hurting and they can't hear each other because it's almost like my hurt is your hurt and your hurt is my hurt and one of us is more hurt than the other. It's like, that's not going to solve anything. The perfect scenario is both mom and adult daughter come into family therapy and have this safe space to speak their truth and then hear each other. But more often than not, as you just described, we try to have these conversations on our own and someone escalates and now we can't hear each other. And now we're saying more hurtful things. We're adding to the metaphorical pile of pain, which makes estrangement more possible. So I would love to see more mothers and daughters in therapy, but I don't know how many are actually going to say, let's do this together, which is why more often than not, they're doing their own work separately with the hope that eventually it'll bring them back together. But there's no guarantee.
It's true. I mean, I've definitely had the privilege of working with parents who have asked to do family therapy with their adult daughters. But it's another factor that shows up and I wanted to share with you is the concept of the expectation again from the daughters that if my mother says, even sincerely, even they got it, they really have the remorse, I get it from their words that they're taking responsibility. Somehow I have it as if I hear it and if it's the right one, then all of my hurt should be gone and the wounding should be gone and I shouldn't have that hole in my heart. And that doesn't happen. It doesn't happen because you still need to go through the healing that no matter what, even if you see your mother now and the person gets in and you can have an amazing relationship from here to the future, there was still a lot of years that you didn't get what you wanted. And no matter how much this person gets it today and tries to give it to you, it doesn't compensate for all of the years that you didn't. And sometimes I think that daughters punish as if like, because I've lost all those years, I'm not even willing to have any other sort of relationship with you right now because nothing that I do is going to compensate. And it's like, well, that won't compensate, but there's so many other layers of healing that we could do. And I usually say, like, what if your mother was dead? Like, if the person wasn't here, you would be responsible to heal yourself anyway, because that you wouldn't be having an expectation of that person needs to come in and heal you now.
Right.
So the that process also, the responsibility of me having to take care of myself, regardless of whether my mother has the ability or not, or is going to or not, for me to be able to heal myself. And then possibly have a relationship with this woman who's in front of me again at this age with this name, which, yeah, it's not the mother I wished for, but at least it's a choice of, you know, being with this woman because we're blood related, let's say.
Well, and hopefully there's compassion there to be like, there's a reason we want to be in each other's lives at that age, right? It's not an obligation anymore, which is where that chuckle came in. But if we keep with this image of like a deep gash in your arm and you're bleeding out and you're trying to heal, like even how the skin heals, like it usually has like the layers have to grow back and you have to put like a ointment on it to keep it from getting infected. And then eventually you've got this like really light scar, but it's like super tender skin and it could be re-injured any moment. That's what I think you're talking about, of like, this is a process. It's not like all of a sudden the clouds part and sunshine comes down on you and you're healed and you're just better. Like, this is a work in progress. And so, to your point, I think there are, younger generations of women who've made this choice that might also need to have clear expectations of what this could truly look like going forward. And it's not a miracle it's happened and we're fine and we get along forever for the rest of our life. Like, we're still two humans that are going to have conflict. And how do we navigate that differently from here forward? So maybe that is where a support person or a therapist or someone normalizes, like, this is a process and not a one and done.
I do, although, like you said, there's a bad rap about this, about the therapy process.
Yeah, it pains me. Yeah.
I totally, totally suggest, not just because the two of us are therapists, but because that's still the only way to get healed and to have that process be, to have someone who's not a relative, who's not a friend, to be there for you, to teach you the skills of, how to heal yourself more than anything. And then, take care of yourself in so many layers. Whereas, as you come in and are going to be mothers, and that you don't take that wounding with you, that you take your
Right.
what you've learned, what things you don't want to do because you received it as harsh, so you don't want to do it. I'm sure we all been there. It was just like, I said I don't want to be like my mother, and then suddenly I turn out, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm acting just like my mother.
Yeah.
Sometimes they have more compassion about their mothers when they watch themselves act like their mothers.
Well, I think it also speaks to like grandparents, right? Where we could have a estranged daughter and her mother, and then that daughter has children, and grandma is completely different and shows up completely different for her grandchildren. Not because she loves them more, or that there's unconditional love now, or there wasn't any before. It's she's a different person. And that's why this image that you've given me of like she's older, she has the same name, but she's almost like a different human, I think would be effective for these adult daughters as they work on their healing of like, I have to get to know this person now, not the person I had then who was abusive or hurtful or whatever happened, especially because they are showing up differently for grandchildren. So there's like this visible evidence that they're not the same person. And can we take that and run with it?
I also hear a lot from grandparents, which is like, I don't have to discipline. I can just be the fun person. At the
Yeah.
end of the night, they go to their parents' home and they get to be disciplined. So I get to just spoil them and give them everything and have the fun, which you couldn't do it. And many, many grandparents say, I really didn't enjoy the part of raising my own children because there was so much to do, so much responsibility, all the things that we needed to do. And I'm really enjoying my grandkids because now it's only about a relationship and nothing else. I don't have to provide. I don't have to do, discipline. I don't have to get them ready in the morning to go to the school. I don't have to sit there with their homework. I don't have to, all of that. And therefore, I get to actually just have a beautiful relationship. And I
Yeah,
think
less pressure.
a lot less pressure. Yes. Is there anything we haven't shared that you really want people to know?
I think as this book came out, I felt compelled to write a children's book as a companion book. So I would love for folks to know about that because the question usually comes up of like, how do I describe this to children? How do I share that I'm estranged from their grandparent or their aunt or uncle or whoever it is? And so the children's book is called Penny McGee's Family Tree, and it's a blended family that comes together and daughter comes in going, I'm panicked. I don't have grandparents for my family tree. Like my tree looks different and I'm worried about this. And it shows that modeling from parents or therapists or whoever their support person to say, let's talk about estrangement, what it means and why are we estranged. So I would love for people to know that that's a resource when talking to kids.
Beautiful. I think it's an amazing addition. Where can people find you?
Most likely on Instagram. So it's at Kara Crossweight is not my full name. It's my maiden name. And of course, the website you're going to have here in the show notes, so estrangementenergycycle.com, it has all the resources we've talked about today.
Beautiful. Everyone, go get this book. Understanding Mother-Daughter Relationships, Guiding the Adult Daughter's Healing Journey Through the Estrangement Energy Cycle by Kara Crossway-Bindle. It was so nice to have you.
Thank you. I'm so glad we could talk about all the angles of mother, daughter, and children, and family. Such an important conversation. Thank you so much.
It's true. It has so much angle, and it's not that easy at all. It's just, it's a loaded subject, and you can really see it. And it could be that with a family, there's only one daughter that has this estrangement, and then has it hurts more because she sees like there's a connection with another daughter. And if there's, then there's like also the sibling rivalry, and see, she knows how to love because I could see like the other one is the favorite. So there's, it's loaded. So
it is. Like talk about self-worth, like what's wrong with me? She loves this person, but not me. Oh yeah. We could talk about that for days.
Exactly. So, you know, we could spend hours and hours and hours giving you guys every possible path, but I'm sure that if it resonates with all of you who are listening or viewing us, you know that there's a part of you that needs to be healed. So go get the book. All right. So thank you for spending the time with us.
Thank you.
And for all of you who are out there, create an amazing life for yourself and everyone around you. And until next week, bye-bye.
Are you a psychotherapist looking to enhance your practice? The Awareness Integration Therapy developed by Dr. Fujian Zeng is a comprehensive guide to the principles and techniques of this powerful therapeutic approach. Join the growing community who have elevated their practice and expanded their skills by embracing Awareness Integration Therapy and witnessing its life-changing impact. Order your copy on Amazon now.